Back Talk is an extension of the award-winning movie review show, It's Movie Time, which airs on Fridays at 4:01 and 8:01 p.m. on WCBE 90.5 FM. Produced and hosted by John DeSando, the podcast features additional content and banter with guests. Back Talk is listed by FeedSpot as one of the top 10 movie review podcasts.
Oh, that's so sweet. I'm John DeSando.
And I'm Gary Hammond.
And this is Back Talk. War in Iran, mudslides.
Economy.
You know, the economy.
Sorry.
I just think the apocalypse is here. So.
Oh, we need a plague, John. We have a war, though. There's some apocalyptic war movies. We've got a war going on. So we'll see
I
what
know.
Happens there.
It certainly is a time to have post-apocalyptic movies, and we have one today called The Dog Stars.
It is a movie that takes place. There's some terrible infection, and there are a select few people that are left in the movie that are still healthy physically and mentally, and then there's some people that are physically healthy but deranged or evil or whatever, and it's the battle between good and evil of the survivors.
This movie, which stars Jacob Elordi, now you may remember him as Frankenstein's monster,
mm-hmm.
and as a different kind of monster in Wuthering Heights.
Right.
So he seems to be on the top of the list these days.
I'd say so. I think he deserves to be there, too. He climbed up there very swiftly.
It's just because he's tall. You guys have got like a fraternity.
Yeah, but we reinforce each other because we hit our heads so much, John. You know, we're an endangered species, really.
The old guys in the movie are the ones that catch my eye. And that
Pops?
Pops starring Guy Pearce.
Yeah.
Many people don't remember him from Memento. And he's had several roles since then, but nothing like that Memento.
Mm-hmm.
Josh Brolin.
Yeah, he's so good.
I like him a lot. He gets, in fact, I would say he's the outstanding actor in this movie.
Yeah, and I thought of, after the fact, I thought of him in No Country for Old Men.
Oh. Because
he's a, you know, he's a manly man with guns and,
yes.
and so on, as far as that goes. But he's a totally different character in this. Very interesting.
Let's not forget Margaret Qualley.
No. We weren't forgetting her. We were saving her the best for last.
Yes. It's such a setup. And my eyes were rolling in my head when Jacob Elordi, who plays a loner, somewhere in Colorado, although it's photographed in the Pyrenees.
Yeah.
Who is with his dog.
Mm-hmm.
Not to be confused with the movie that's coming out with Brad Pitt and his dog as loners.
Okay.
And coming out.
A man and his dog. It's a story often told.
Boy, is that ever. You've got him, and you have him a more or less going out searching. And I think he hears in the radio something in Grand Junction.
Yes. Thinks there might be life there.
And there's some beautiful photography, don't you think?
It's wonderful. Oh, the flying scenes?
Yeah, I think
that the topography that they're in. The cities are as destroyed as you imagine they would be if all hell breaks loose.
He goes foraging in Denver.
And he visits the home that he had with his wife, we find out.
Yeah, that's right. It got a little bit much, the reverie about her.
That was central to his character because he was torn between going on with what's the purpose and just ending it all.
That's right. He has suicidal thoughts.
Yeah, he had very serious suicidal thoughts.
There's a nice combination of Jacob and Josh Brolin's character, Bangley.
Bangley.
The difference between the two.
Right.
Elordi, more a pacifist, Bangley, ready to go.
Yeah, Bangley is, as long as he's alive, I mean, and it's nice that this guy is there and he appreciates the company and he's safer with the company because they can both protect their perimeter, will come into play, but he selfishly wants the guy to stay there for company and for security, but he's just happy to be alive. He's got everything he needs.
I know, and I love
to survive.
He accuses Bangley of enjoying all of this. That he lives for this.
Yeah. It's fun to kill people who are trying to kill you. No, I wouldn't say that. But he's very satisfied when he successfully kills somebody that is a threat to him.
Yes, I know.
And he does it a lot.
Yeah. Unlike other post-apocalyptic movies, people aren't just randomly killed in this movie.
And they're not constantly killing in this movie.
And they're not constantly. You would have expected mayhem with Ridley Scott as the director. But he mutes this one.
Lots of quiet spaces and thoughtful spaces, reflective spaces, interesting. Yet there is this sense of impending. Well, you know it's an apocalyptic movie because here they are. So there's this sense of impending doom just around the corner. And Ridley Scott delivers.
Yeah. And we'll have an idea of the other apocalyptic movies and post-apocalyptic movies a little bit later. I think you'll weigh in on that.
Yeah.
But most of them, it seems to me, are riddled with cannibalism and craziness and murder. And I just don't get that here.
Well, there's some.
There's just a bit, don't you think?
Yeah, I think. People that are killed by Bang Lee at his, I'll call his reservation, all in the remove because he's doing it with a scope and a long-distance rifle. And
then, that's right.
You don't see any bodies because he burns them.
A nice touch, I thought, when a couple of those intruders were women. Mm-hmm. They didn't have any guns with them or anything?
In the first two that I remember, in any event, one had a gun, but no ammo, as it turned out, and the other one had a machete.
Right. But Scott, just in tamping down the usual mayhem of this, I think has created a quiet movie. That's whose circumstances are not at all quiet, but which emphasizes, for me, the survivalist theme more than the mayhem theme. So do you think that this is successful?
I thought it was successful.
Yeah,
I thought it was successful. I read the book years ago when it came out, and I liked it very much, so I was excited to see that there was a movie about it. Pretty faithful to the book, no disappointments there. And they're trying to be normal people going through their normal daily lives, and yet they have overlaying concerns that everybody is a threat, and how are they going to deal with those threats as far as that goes, and then surviving. And although in the reservation, as I've called it, flies into Denver and gets supplies as far as that goes, there is a peaceful community that is adjacent to them, adjacent in the sense that if you have a plane, you can get there. But he stops and visits with them, and they seem isolated and safe, although I doubt that that's really true, but go ahead.
Toward the end, right? Yeah. The Mennonites?
Well, but they were introduced in the beginning of the scene where he stops and brings them soft drinks.
This is right. That's right. They even found some Coke.
That's right.
Yeah, and so they're a peaceful community, and we have had rubbed noses a little bit with some Mennonites up here in the Berlin township.
Yeah, right.
And it seemed to be pretty accurate.
The gangs on electric bikes.
Yeah. So there are some peaceful moments, and I think the film itself is pervaded by peacefulness. Now, I have to mention one of the over-the-top sequences, and that would have to be at Grand Junction Airport. And you have Allison Janney. And I've never seen her play such a role.
It was amazing.
Wow. And she was just eating that role up. You know that it's going to happen. Things are not going to turn out well, no matter what.
I didn't know that, John.
Right.
I did. The book.
You need to see some more of these movies, because I knew right away that Grand Junction wasn't going to be grand at all as they went along. The romance in this.
Mm-hmm.
How about that? Usually, the romances are so obvious, and this one is going to be. There's nobody else there but these two.
It's two very wounded people who are drawn to someone else that is suffering and may offer comfort, but that's not clear that that's going to go anywhere for quite a while.
Yeah, Seema, played by Margaret Qualley. Mm-hmm. She and Jacob Elordi's Higgs seem destined for each other, even though there's some distance between the two of them, so that you don't get it right away.
Well, they're wounded. Yeah, they're wounded, so they have... I think they're drawn to each other, like magnets. Yeah,
well, there's
like
nobody magnets. Else there.
Well, I know, but it's cold, and they're snuggling, but they're snuggling. That's all it is for warmth and comfort.
Yeah. Parallel old guys. Two sets of characters.
Yep.
You've got Higgs, and you've got his buddy, Bangley.
Right.
And then you've got Pops, played by Guy Pearce, and his daughter, who's not ugly by any means.
No.
Got her there. So you got the two of them kind of set off against each other. Or let's just say that emphasizes each other.
Yeah.
Because the old men are traditionalists.
The old men are cut from the same mold. They're interested in preserving themselves and preserving the people they care about. They're very much the same character. They're in different locations, but they join forces together. So.
There's one sequence that you commented on that I felt equally impressed with, and that's with some wild animals. Mm-hmm. That's about all I'm going to say is this, what a surprise that was. I loved it.
Yeah.
It'd be kind of a, what, looking back at the Old West, some of those used to have stampedes.
Yeah.
And this was just, this just came out of nowhere.
It came out of nowhere, and I was expecting anything but that. There's this ominous sound and dust, and it was pretty exciting.
The introduction of the Piper Cub was a good one. Usually we're grounded on these apocalyptic movies. Usually they're going all over the place, and it's usually on the ground.
Right.
But taking it to the air, it was a nice touch.
And it goes with the sense of the movie because it's quiet up there, and it's serene up there, and he's flying around.
Yes.
And he's looking at the serene scenery, and he's also looking for bad people, and he's trying to get to some place where he can get supplies that are helpful, but it's quiet. Unless something goes.
Got achieved that. Most of that audience is expecting a rouser. Mm-hmm. He tamps that down, and the plane helps him to do that, helps him to rise away from the mayhem down there.
Yeah.
I really like that. All right, Gary Hammond, the movie is The Dog Stars. Well, I hope that people will come back, if they're not put off by my ignorance, to come back for our podcast, which in this case is going to be Back Talk. But what do you recommend for The Dog Stars?
I very much enjoyed it. Yeah. I really did. I thought the acting was good. The storyline was good. It had surprises, none of which we've ruined.
I disclosed that wild animal
segment. You didn't disclose anything, John. Not really.
Thank you. Thank you, Counselor. So I'm innocent. Would you say not really young members of the family?
I
think teens would get a good sense of this.
Yeah. Especially the boys. Yeah.
All right, Gary Hammond. The movie is The Dog Stars. Where does that come from?
Well, it comes out of a book that was published in about 2012.
What is that title?
The Dog Stars is, he's always looking at the constellations, and he really knows what their names are, but he makes up different names for them.
Yeah, I like that, yes.
And he makes up fanciful names, and it would be the same game that I play with my grandchildren, not necessarily with stars, but with other things. And I call something some outrageous name, they dispute my representation. They think I'm wrong.
It's another way for Ridley Scott to pull himself away from the devastation that has gone on and pull him back into the sky to create that dreamy atmosphere that pervades it, and which I think is going to put off some critics. And in fact, I think the movie itself is not getting great reviews.
Well, everybody has an opinion.
A pervasive criticism of must be, and I haven't read them, but must be because Ridley Scott makes it so slow for this type of movie, lacking a lot of blood or cannibalism.
I've reviewed other movies that you've tricked me into. And I don't necessarily like horror movies or the alien things or whatever, but I loved the new Frankenstein, and I'm wide open to a really good movie, whatever the topic. Yeah, it's subtle. The thing is, there's this underlying, you know, something's going to happen. You're waiting for the other shoe to drop the whole time, and it doesn't drop, and you get lulled into a sense that, you know, okay, well, this, oh, it's going to be okay. You know, this is, I misunderstood the purpose of this movie, and then things happen.
Yeah,
and there's a big surprise, and that's exciting, but there's not this dread constantly.
In this apocalyptic, post-apocalyptic, what do you have?
Well, I've got apocalyptic movies about the end of the world as we know it. Apocalypto is the first one that came, which is
completely the opposite of this movie.
Really the opposite of this movie, but there, the Mayans, I think, I'm going to call them Mayans, I don't really know, and then the Aztecs, and the Mayans have got this lovely life in the jungle, and the Aztecs come and get them for human sacrifice, and they think that's the end of the world as they know it, and only to discover at the end of the movie there's a ship of Europeans who are about to really make the end of the world.
And since we have Mel Gibson at the helm here, we know It's not going to be peaceful.
No, it's not going to be peaceful. Then I looked at the four horsemen of the apocalypse in the book of Revelation. So you've got conquest, war, famine, and death.
Right,
Also in the Old Testament, in Ezekiel. In terms of this, I looked at movies. The first one that came to my mind was The Omega Man from 1971 with Charlton Heston.
Yes.
Where he is a doctor in the army, and he's got the vaccine that's going to save all the people in the world, and the helicopter crashes, and he injects himself at the last minute. And the most of the human beings in the world become monsters that can't be out in the sunlight and so on, and they attack him every night in his little home. And then the remake of it, which I didn't like as much as I liked The Omega Man, was with Will Smith. It's called I Am Legend.
That's right, yeah.
And it's faithful. And the book is by Richard Matheson in both cases. And so everybody dies and his on and on and on. And then in each movie they somehow get the medicine out to the world. On the Beach with Gregory Peck and Ava Gardner.
Boy, that's completely different.
Well, it's but nuclear it's similar war.
But it's similar to the pace of Ridley Scott's movie. Yeah. That's a great choice because very little happens.
Very little happens. And it's a U.S. submarine, 12 Monkeys with Bruce Willis, 1995.
Oh, yeah.
It was originally a French film in 1962. Infection kills most life. And a scientist travels back in time to try and find the source of the infection in time to end it, but misses the right time. And that's the tension in that movie, because he's not really in the right place. He's gone too far, and he needs to get back to
that. Yeah.
And he warns people, and they respond as most people in America do when people say crazy things. Quiet Earth, 1985, a science experiment kills all of humanity except for two men and one woman. And so there's a tension there. It's Adam and Eve over again.
Oh.
Contagion, Matt Damon. Planet of the Apes, 1968. Charlton Heston, War. Most of these were infection. I just looked up only infection movies, but they didn't interest me as much as these other
but
things.
But how timely with our COVID.
And I was thinking of COVID during this. Yeah.
Let's see. They resonate more.
Doctor Strangelove.
Oh, gosh. I love that movie.
The apocalypse didn't happen, but it was only because, well, it probably did happen because Slim Pickens rode that missile down into Russia.
Now we don't
And then there was nuclear war. So, yeah, it was Armageddon.
We don't have anybody crazy enough to ride a rocket like that, do we, today? Thinking of any leaders in our world.
Well, Slim Pickens wasn't a leader in our world. But I'm pretty sure that Vladimir Putin and our president were self-protective. Wouldn't throw themselves into that kind of thing. I mean, there are movies that we're drawn to. And then I was drawn, actually, this morning, I was also looking up The Mask of the Red Death by Poe. And there is a movie version of it. But it's the idea, it's that in spite of your wealth and your status, death treats everybody equally. Death goes everywhere to find who it wants to find.
And you haven't mentioned any of the 28 days later, 28 years later, too modern? Or
I just wasn't
interested.
Some that I crossed out Save the Green Planet. It was a Korean movie.
All right.
Conspiracy Nut captures, but it's not really an apocalypse. He just makes everybody crazy, but there's no
It just seems to me that there
viruses.
Are... They're coming around almost every year, something like this. That's why Ridley Scott's The Dog Stars is so unusual to me, because of its lack of zombie for all of it. There's just something very peaceful about it that's so contradictory to what's happened and what is probably going to happen.
And this is more believable than the zombie movie.
You're right. While I'm saying this is not the way I've seen post-apocalyptic, but it doesn't have to be all zombies running around. It could be a peaceful one like this, where there's always the threat. And I mean, that's what makes these movies, and this movie particularly fetching to me, is that it could be anywhere at any time where we're trying to protect ourselves from forces we know about or that are crazed. We can think of countries that are crazed. Even our own at times seems crazed. It doesn't seem foreign to me, even though it's such an exotic tale, this one and others. And the ones that you've mentioned, they're all exotic.
Yeah.
I had listed some of these Ridley Scott movies.
Okay.
And I think his most famous one is Blade Runner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Talking Blade Runner the first or 49?
That's right. I'm thinking the first is the
me
one
too.
That...
Yeah, so the replicant. Here we are in the world of AI technology. And we may be just
Thank
around
you.
The corner from that. Maybe we can send them off to fight our wars for us, but it would be better if we didn't do that. Yeah, no, that was, I thought everything was great about that movie, including the humanity of during the speech. The speech at the end about the I've seen planets, but he's there as he's dying. He knows he can feel himself turning off, trying to get to the man that ran the system to find out the key to longevity.
Completely opposite. But an idea of the range of Ridley Scott, The Martian, completely different.
And that was upbeat. That's not an apocalyptic.
I know. I just take a look at what Ridley Scott is capable of doing.
I know. And Matt talking about what he's going to do with plants, and he says, fortunately, I'm a biologist.
But Ridley Scott doesn't have all, although his list, I culled his list, and they were still all winners. One that wasn't a winner was only about 3 years ago, Napoleon. Not good.
It wasn't well received.
Yeah, and it wasn't good.
Yeah, I didn't see it.
Yeah. Oh, okay, all right.
Yeah, I can't comment on it.
Well, there's very little of an interaction between him, Napoleon, and Josephine. And that seems like really stupid. That's such a fine romance, or such a probably cataclysmic romance.
It's all about
romance.
The war, John.
Yeah, I guess it is. The
it's
costume.
Going to Moscow, man. Going to Moscow is...
And you are so right, and those uniforms are... Ridley Scott got that right.
Yeah.
Got those beautiful things. Another one, give an idea. This guy is so talented. The House of Gucci.
Oh, that's so good.
Yeah. I mean, isn't that completely different? Although it is, what, a dangerous world. So he's good at that. Yeah. He can have any landscape, and he does a great job. And then the Alien movies.
Yeah.
See, these, like Blade Runner, set the tone, really set the scene for so many movies to come after that. There's such important movies, and what a great...
And that was before people made second versions and third versions and fourth versions. And yet that's what it springs out of, because they're so good. And there's only so many stories to tell, John, in the world, but it's the way that they're told.
Oh, God, you are so right. American Gangster, way back in 97. Boy, is that a long time ago. With Denzel, I think. I think it was Denzel.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's a completely different landscape.
Well, he did what Trump said he would do, shoot somebody on the corner and get away
with it. Good point. Now, here's one completely different that is, talk about iconic. Came in 1990, and I don't think in movies that we have today starring women, I think you can't discount the importance of Thelma and Louise. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine that he did Thelma and Louise?
Oh.
I know.
It's wonderful.
But I was unaware that he was at the helm, only aware of those women as being iconic.
Yeah.
I mean, starting a whole movement that's still with us and hasn't even yet reached its apex. There is one that I'm going to mention, but I don't care about. Robin Hood in 2010 with Russell Crowe. Can you remember that? I can't remember that at all.
No.
That's when Crowe is bottom feeding. Again, getting...
Well, you need to go down and get nutrition.
All right, Gary Hammond, post-apocalyptic ourselves. It's a trail behind us of criticism. And the movie for us is The Dog Stars. And just as stunning as the movie itself is the director, who is Ridley Scott. What do you recommend for the Dog Stars?
I recommend people go see it. It's an end of the world movie.
Yeah, thank you.
And there's some hope at the end that they're actually going to get through it.
It's a very different take. Do not go to this movie expecting your garden variety cannibalism. This is completely different, and you characterize it as being, I think, moderate would be the right word, a moderate take, and yet also a interesting look at what it would be like if any one of us was left the way Higgs is left with his Piper Cub and his dog. You hope you meet somebody like Josh Brolin's character and also like Guy Pearce's character, these older guys with white beards who think they know everything.
Oh, you're just talking to me. And there is a tip of the hat towards cannibalism in this. You have to be paying attention.
Yeah,
but it's not the good guys.
Yeah, it is. And you'll get a little bit of that, but don't expect a whole lot of it. Well, more of a romance in so many different ways. Two couples who are very interesting and who help support each other in the narrative of this film. It's called The Dog Stars.